The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend, engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass. On Thursday, March 26, 2020, we are practicing safe distancing while bringing people together in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. I'm sitting here in an empty studio, still pretty nice size studio, a relatively new studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Tom is safely sequestered in the other side of the glass in the control room. Kind of like that, boy, you got to be old enough, Tom, to remember this, the $64,000 question. Remember that one?
I do. And that was one of the quiz shows that was scandalized by cheating.
Oh, yeah. My website's buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts available for you. We live stream there as well. If you have any questions, and I suspect people should or do, I know they do, if you want to talk with a really knowledgeable health expert, 790-2040, and that expert is Will Hummel. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. His 30 years in public health included more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the director of the agency from 2009 to 2015. Most recently, he served as a health policy director at the University of Arizona from 2015 to 2017. He continues to be involved in health policy in his role at the Arizona Public Health Association and as an adjunct faculty member at the UA Zuckerman College of Public Health. Will is a big believer in using evidence-based health policy as a means to improving health outcomes and in leading and managing with emotional intelligence. Will, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity.
What's your view of what's going on, first of all, in Arizona and nationwide, the way we're handling this crisis?
So in terms of the outbreak and the epidemic, really the pandemic, we're at the beginning of what we call in the business the epidemic curve here in Arizona. So that means we're in the phase where, you know, the number of infections are ramping up. More and more people are becoming infected, and we're asking more and more of the population to do those individual responsible things to help slow the spread of the virus, like isolation and quarantine. And of course, those daily things of washing your hands, doing the social distancing and so forth. It's a lot of stuff for people to take on. And it's quite honestly a really challenging time because of what these measures are doing to the economy and the layoffs, as we heard on the news here just a few minutes ago about the number of unemployment claims, which is, by the way, also a public health thing. You know, being unemployed is a big public health issue.
And leading to suicides, unfortunately, because it's a mental health question, Will.
No, there are so many things that are linked to your ability to make a living. Just the individual stressors about, you know, making rent. If you're a small business owner, you know, like a restaurant or a bar, you know, you've got a lease that you got to make. You probably had to lay off a bunch of your talented staff this week or last week, and you've got rent coming up in April, and it's scary time for everybody. It really is.
Well,
and that has impact on people's health.
Well, Governor Ducey issued an executive order today ensuring hospital preparedness. We're getting a lot of executive orders out of the governor's office. And, of course, we have by decree issued by governors that represent one-third of the population of America. And there's questions now, Will. Andrew Napolitano, the former judge of the Superior Court in New Jersey, author of 9 books on the U.S. Constitution, says today outright, these decrees should be rejected by an outraged populace and challenged in court. How much authority do these governors have, Will Hummel?
Well, I could talk to you about our governor because I know more about Arizona law than other states. And
go ahead.
Let me describe some of the authorities in Arizona are actually go back to laws that were passed by the state legislature in about 2004-2005 era. They're in state law. It's called Arizona Revised Statutes 36, 787, 788, and 789. And folks can look up that law if they want on asleg.gov. But 36, 787 gives governors in Arizona the authority when they declare a public health emergency to order. There's a series of things that it gives authority for, including orders for isolation and quarantine of persons that are known to be or potentially are exposed to a dangerous public health threat. In this case, it would be the coronavirus. But in the 36789, which is part of that series of law, it includes the due process provisions. And so these are not unlimited authorities that the governor of Arizona has, especially when it comes to isolation and quarantine. The way our system works is that executives, in this case, the governor, is exercising some of that authority. But as you mentioned, Judge Napolitano and others, it's also the responsibility of the citizenry to ensure, and by the way, a free press, to ensure that during emergencies like this, that elected officials aren't exceeding their authority. And now I'm not suggesting that Governor Ducey has done that. I'm just saying it's not an unlimited authority that is given to governors during public health emergencies. Due process is definitely part of it.
I'm glad to hear you say this. This message is not getting out. The thinking is that these governors have unlimited power in this, and I'm really glad to hear you talk about that statute and that provision about due process.
Yeah, it's an important thing, and but the way our legal system works is, these court challenges that happen from time to time, whether it's state law or federal laws and that kind of stuff, that the judicial branch of government moves a lot slower than the executive branch, especially during an emergency. And so I think one of the things that we are seeing in other states, we haven't seen it yet here in Arizona, is governors issuing what are called shelter-in-place orders. Now, our governor hasn't issued any sort of order in that regard. Many governors, Governor California and others, have made those kinds of executive orders. And whether or not they actually have that authority, I think, is still unclear. The issue is that if a governor can, let's say, do an order, an executive order that says shelter in place, if somebody doesn't agree with that order, then they can file in court for an injunction, ask for judicial review. That process takes a long time. And, I think what we will see in many of these states is that governors are exceeding their authority for some period of time and are actually able to exercise that authority before the courts catch up with them. And it could very well be that the wave of infection passes by that state by the time courts decide that, in fact, the governor didn't have the authority to do what they already did. And that's the court cases that come out of this pandemic, I think, will inform future public policy for future pandemics. Hopefully we don't have any more, at least for a long time. But this episode, this pandemic is it will for sure inform public policy moving forward. Because there's a lot of these kinds of decisions that affect civil liberties that are happening in real time right now.
All right. I'm coming up on a break, and I don't know if you can, maybe you can start to address this in the next 2 minutes. Will Hummel, quarantines have been around since the Middle Ages with the Black Plague and on and on. Are they successful, Will Hummel?
So, and I think we could, we'll go on the break. Let me just introduce the two words we'll talk about, and then we can go on to break.
Okay.
There's two things in public health that we use as measures. One is called isolation, and one is called quarantine. And they're different things, but these days people are using the words interchangeably. And so after we'll take a quick break, then I'll talk about what isolation is and what quarantine is, and which one of those measures is known to be very effective and which is useful but not as effective.
All right. We're talking with Will Hummel, who is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association and the former director from 2009 to 2015. He was the Arizona State Health Director. I want to tell everybody that Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, is open. They are open right now for lunch. You can place your orders either on the website or by phone at 579-1959. Folks, you can walk into a bakery like Mona's, and I hope you do, and get your bakery goods, and you can leave. And they're open right now. And if you want to help a small business, please, Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and go by and help them out. They're open for open at 6:30 to 2. You can do breakfast. You can do the call ahead, and they'll have your takeout ready. Or if you want your bakery goods, walk in, say, hey, I'd love some of that freshly baked bread to go along with some of the bakery goods. Pick up, make your order, pay, and leave. So it's that simple. Yes, you can't sit in the bakery and eat, but they are open. And let's try to keep these local businesses alive that are really hurting right now through all of this. Let's continue our discussion with Will Hummel after the break. 790-2040 in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on the Buckmaster Show. Did Vero Amore take out last night? Oh my goodness, the salmon was so good. I could do that. I could do the Vero Amore takeout every night. I also have a note here from a great sponsor, Moe's Gallery. Fine framing now, doing one-on-one appointments only. Call ahead, arrange a time with Moe. No interruptions, no other customers. Moe will even arrange to drop. You can even meet him at the front door and through the glass, coordinate a virtual design session at Moe's over at Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 on the web at moesgallery.com. Will Hummel is with us. Will's the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, former state health director here in Arizona. The calls from our listeners, Will, are really stacking up, but I know you want to do the, give us the definition, the kind of the definition, what's isolation and what's quarantine, what works better?
Isolation is when you are diagnosed with an illness, in this case, the coronavirus, and you know that you get the test, then you go into a designated room in your house and you stay there for a couple of weeks. That's a hard thing to do, but it's an important thing because you're isolating yourself from the rest of the family and your coworkers, et cetera. That's a really useful and effective strategy for slowing the spread of diseases. That's isolation. Quarantine is when you have come into contact with somebody who was later diagnosed to have an illness, in this case, the coronavirus, but you feel fine. But you were maybe in the same room. Maybe you shook hands with that person. Maybe they were in the cube next to you at work, something like that. Then the question is, should you go into quarantine? That means, staying away from others, staying away from work. But it doesn't mean you have to put yourself in your own room by yourself like isolation does. So quarantine can have a good effect at slowing down the spread of an illness, but it's not as effective as isolation because, a lot of times when you're going into quarantine, you're guessing because you don't know whether you've been infected or not. But when you're in isolation, you know you've been infected and you're confirmed. And so isolation is a very effective public health strategy. Quarantine can be useful, but it's not as effective.
You think it's being useful right now in this country?
I hope so. But one of the challenges with isolation is that it's easier said than done. So mm-hmm. Take, for example, a family of four or five, something like that, and somebody comes down with COVID-19 illness, and they're living in the same house as the rest of the family. How do you stay in isolation for 2 weeks? Are you going to stay in one room at one end of the house where all the other activity is happening in the rest of the house? What about the glassware and the silverware and the food? And, it's just isolation is just easier said than done unless you're lucky enough or wealthy enough to have another apartment or condo or something, to go to. And what we have seen in Italy and in China, and I'm sure is happening here, is that one of the biggest sources of infection is intra-family infection. So one person in the family gets infected with the virus and it ends up cascading a domino effect within the rest of the family.
All right. Before we go to Ingrid, quick question about the weather. Why do some health officials think this would be the first known virus not to be seasonal and weather sensitive?
Yeah. So I'm actually working on a blog post on that right now. And the answer is we don't know yet. And anyone who says they know is speculating whether or not it's going to be a seasonal virus. There is a little bit of data that we have. It's anecdotal. But to me, it suggests that a combination of high temperature with high humidity is an environment that this virus won't like. The data from that comes from a published article. It wasn't peer reviewed. But there's some data analysis that's been done comparing the spread of the virus where there are known cases in places like the Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia, Southeast Asia, which has, even this time of year, they're in the northern hemisphere, but they still have high temperatures and high humidity because it's in the tropical zone. There are known cases, but not that much community spread. Now, that could be because places like Thailand have inadequate testing, but it could also be that the combination of high temperature and high humidity will provide some relief in the northern hemisphere as we approach summertime, and in Arizona, in particular, July and August, with our monsoon season. The general thought is that we will probably be well past the biggest wave of COVID-19 illness in Arizona by then. But I think there are some interesting and somewhat promising data suggesting that it may provide some seasonal relief. Although, you know, like I said, that article that I'm referring to hasn't been through the rigors of peer review.
All right. I understand that. Ingrid, thanks for waiting. Ingrid, you're with Will Hummel, the former Arizona Department of Health director.
Good afternoon, sir. Well, you've mentioned many things now. Listening while you were talking, more ideas came to my head. So should our president be in quarantine? Because he gets in contact with all kinds of people, and he's a handshaker like all of us are, puts his hand out immediately without, you know, it's a habit. Should people in southern Arizona, where it does get hot but it's pretty dry, be adding humidity to their homes? Florida is probably going to be in good shape, but we need some moisture. So should we do that?
Okay, Ingrid.
Also, I'm very concerned about kids in stores. Kids are being brought to stores, infants to teens, young teens. Shouldn't they be home? Shouldn't the other parent be with them, or the older children taking care of the younger ones?
All right.
I know you're in a hurry, so I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay, Ingrid, there are three questions there. Let's quickly go through them. The president, should he be in quarantine, Will?
Yeah, I'll try to be really quick with this. So it depends on the exposure. So the people that should be going into quarantine are those who have had prolonged and direct contact with somebody who is known to be infected. And so I wasn't in the back room of the White House or at Mar-a-Lago or whatever to know, for example, the Brazilian delegation that was then become infected. If he was shaking their hands and if he was in close contact with them for a long time, yes, he should be in quarantine. If it was more trivial contact or not direct contact, then it's probably not necessary for him to go into quarantine for that exposure.
Humidity and humidity entered into the house with a humidifier.
So that one is an interesting one. And in fact, every one of our rooms has humidifiers in them now. So that tells you something. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's nice about having humidifiers in your room is it keeps your mucous membranes moist all throughout the night. When you spend eight hours in your bedroom, it's really important to keep your mucous membranes moist, because the mucous membrane is a barrier for viruses and bacteria. And it's part of your defense mechanism as a human. And so I'm a big proponent of having humidifiers in bedrooms, because there's good evidence that it keeps your mucous membranes healthier. And what was that third question?
There was something about kids, whether they should be brought to stores. And this gets into the whole thing about people are going to go out and about. What about children? First of all, what is your thinking real quickly? Should kids be in school, or is this a good thing not to have the kids in school?
So it's an interesting public policy question. I think we'll know at the end of this whether or not school closures was an effective strategy. One of the things we do know about this virus is that it affects children much less than it does older adults. And so the outstanding question is, we don't have enough data to answer this. Is it that kids aren't being infected? Do they have some defense mechanism that we don't know about, or are they getting infected but not showing symptoms? And if they're asymptomatic, are they actually spreading the virus or not? I think most public policy, most elected officials have decided to close schools. I think that's done out of caution rather than empirical data for the most part. We'll see at the end. I'm not casting stones at any of them. These are hard decisions. I'm not so sure that in the end we will decide that it was a smart thing to keep to close schools. Now, I don't have an answer for that question right now.
Okay.
But it does have that cascade effect of anyone who's driving around town sees packs of teenagers all over the place.
I've still got a minute, right, Tom? Okay, Jeff, I'm going to go to you really quickly. You have to make this question in 10 seconds for Will Hummel. Go ahead.
Okay, for both you gentlemen, right now as we speak, would you rather have the coronavirus, catch the coronavirus, or the regular old American flu?
Okay, good question. Go ahead, Will.
Regular influenza.
Regular influenza for me, too. Anyway, Will Hummel, we're going to get you back on the air here real soon because obviously there's a lot to talk about. Thank you, Will.
Appreciate the opportunity. Have a nice afternoon.
Thanks a lot. Will Hummel, former state director of health. He's with the Arizona Public Health Association. He's got a blog at their website. Be right back.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $29.5 billion, with 173 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 51,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on the live line, Jim Toefel, Jim of Toefel Dent Construction. Jim is a member of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing real well. I still see a lot of cranes on the Tucson skyline. What is the state of construction in this community right now?
Well, I'll answer that question a couple ways. In general, it's very strong, especially downtown where we have a true urban environment that's walkable. And I think everywhere along the modern streetcar line, I mean, the modern streetcar is a great way to get people around the community, but it's really more about defining a corridor for high-density development. I think that's what we're seeing. There's a lot of new projects from the Mercado through downtown, along 4th Avenue, up through University and the Medical Center. And we're seeing a lot of investment and growth, both projects that are under construction and projects that are in the planning stages along that corridor. In general, I think Tucson has recovered from the recession in 2008 for most industries. I would, you know, one, I guess, point of feedback I'd like to make for the industry as a whole is that I'd like to see a better subcontractor base in Tucson. We lost a lot of subcontractors from the recession in 2008. And as a result, for some of the bigger, more complex projects, we're having to bring subs from out of town. And, you know, that's one of my hopes going forward is that we can continue to develop our subcontractor base and be able to perform more of that work within Tucson. You know, I think in order to keep the construction industry strong in Tucson, we need to continue to attract businesses to move here. That's one of the reasons I joined the Sun Corridor is I feel like Tucson has a lot to offer companies, and I want to help us compete with other cities like Phoenix for attracting new businesses.
We got a lot of, as you point out, activity going on right now, and you said there's planning for others. What do you think, Jim? How is this coronavirus and this downturn on Wall Street and many people feel and are hoping that it will be temporary and there'll be a very dramatic recovery? What's your take on it, Jim Toefel?
So, in the short term, we are not having a significant financial impact. You know, we've had to make a lot of changes on our projects like all businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, so our office personnel, for the most part, are all working from home. I'm working from home right now. In the field, on our jobs, they do not have the option of being able to work from home. So we've had to take a lot of additional safety precautions on our projects. Our field offices are closed to subcontractors and basically anybody except for our employees. All meetings are being held outdoors. We're maintaining safe distances. We've instituted a lot of additional personal protective gear on the people working in the field. So we don't want to see any exposed skin. Everybody has to wear long sleeve shirts, gloves, safety glasses. We can't get ventilators for most of our guys, so we're getting these things called, it's like neck gear that comes up over your face and nose. If they don't have that, they can take a T-shirt and basically cut off the bottom half of it and wrap it around their face. And then we don't allow more than three people in a room at a given time. So for projects that are dried in and we're working on the interiors, we don't want a lot of people in the rooms at one time. In general, we're following the CDC recommendations for evaluating high-risk individuals and if somebody should be on site or not. So the CDC on their website has it's called a risk assessment matrix that says if somebody is high risk or low risk. So if they've traveled to an area that's where there's an outbreak, or they know somebody who has the coronavirus, they're considered high risk. And so there's different actions that sure. we take for each risk assessment. And that's basically what we're following right now. But, our goal is to try to keep things moving forward.
Jim, give us an overview. You've got what are some of the projects, some of your marquee projects that you've got going on and some of the more challenging ones? And give us kind of an overview of your company. And I know that David Dent is now, you've got the name TOEFL and Dent Construction. Give us the kind of the overview of the company.
So we're definitely a growing company. We have 70 employees, most of which are Tucson-based. We have about $157 million worth of construction projects currently under contract. And even though we're based in Tucson, actually most of our work is out of town. So we currently have only two projects in Tucson. The one that's most notable and recognizable is the Flynn, which is a project that's being built just north of the convention center on Broadway and Church. It's where La Placita used to be.
Uh-huh.
HSL is the developer on that project. And we have another small project going for Hulualoa right now over by Pima College. And I just finished an office building for Bourne Partners on University and 4th Avenue. But outside of our Tucson deals, we've got six projects in Maricopa County, one in Flagstaff, three in New Mexico. Historically, we've been primarily multifamily contractors. We've had an increased focus on our commercial and our hotel divisions. It's interesting that, this coronavirus, even though it's not having a short-term impact, we are seeing projects get canceled or delayed. And so I'm more concerned about a long-term impact in six months to a year from now, because there's projects that we've got in our backlog that we were anticipating starting in the next several months that are not going to move forward now. Most notably on the hotel side, lenders have basically pulled funding commitments on every hotel we're working on. Marriott has had huge layoffs. Hilton has had a lot of layoffs. And so there's really nothing coming out of the ground on that front right now. The area where we're seeing the most traction is in apartments and housing, and specifically affordable housing.
Well, very challenging times, Jim TOEFL, but sounds like you guys are going to adapt whatever lies ahead. And you've got a lot of work right now, at least currently, right?
We do. And, Dave Dent, just to touch on that side of it, Dave Dent and I were main managing members a couple years ago. The company was originally formed in 1984 by Steve and Rich TOEFL. They're identical twins. And it was actually formed to give my grandfather a job. So he was an interesting guy. He was married four times, and every time he got a divorce, he left everything to his ex.
What?
So Joe TOEFL was married to Marion TOEFL. They started and ran the Tucson Racquet Club.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got a divorce, he left the Racquet Club to her and left everything to her. So he didn't have a job. He didn't have anything to do. So they started the construction company actually to give him a job.
Wow.
And it was to support their in-house developments.
Wow.
And when the 86 tax reform happened under Reagan, they completely changed how they valued properties. And you remember the whole RTC thing.
Sure.
And Steve and Rich were hurt pretty badly through that thing. And so Steve decided he liked the construction industry and wanted to focus on that. And he grew the company from a $2 million a year construction company to a $50 million construction company in about 2018. Wow. So Dave and I took over at that point, and the company is continuing to evolve. Dave manages the operations. He does a really good job with that side of the business. It's a tough thing for that he does, and I work more on the pre-con side and the business development.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there, but Jim Toefel, thank you very much. Interesting information. Thanks, sir. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you, bud.
Jim Toefel with Toefel Dent Construction. You can find out more about Sun Corridor by going to suncorridorinc.com. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted news talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things has all the plants you need, and they've got a huge selection for your spring gardening, 3384 East River Road. During this coronavirus crisis, a lot of people are staying home and enjoying their backyard garden, while the plants you need for that garden are available right now at 3384 East River Road. They're a 13-acre site, Green Things. There's plenty of room for social distancing. You can get your plants and then go right home. home. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the websites. Additional support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, the Memorial Day weekend Silver City Blues Festival is still on. The final decision will be made April the 15th, but right now, the festival, they are planning for it. So visit southwestnewmexico.org, that three-hour trip to Silver City. Hopefully it's on for the Memorial Day weekend. Southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our candidate interview series, 2020, Your Vote, Your Voice. Eric Rudin with us on the live line. Eric, a Republican candidate for Congress in District 2. Eric, how are you, and how is the campaign going?
Actually, I'm doing well, and I think our campaign is doing exceedingly well. So I'm very pleased where we're at right now.
Have you been successful in gathering signatures?
We have. I think we'll turn in probably 1,000 plus to maybe double the required signatures we need. We've been working very hard at that, so I'm very pleased at what our staff has accomplished so far.
Tell our listeners about who you are and why you are running, Eric Rudin.
Well, I'm basically a local Tucsonan, grew up here my entire life, attended Saguaro High School, and basically just a guy working in a community that kind of worked his way up the ladder. Started as a pest control tech and became vice president of a very successful company. 13 years ago, I ended up buying my own company, Essential Pest Control, and did very well in that. And I also have an indoor baseball softball facility for kids called the Hitting Factory in Marana. So I operate two successful businesses. I've always followed politics with a conservative lean, and I just kind of got tired of the political climate. And sometimes I think good people need to do good things, and that was the reason I decided to run for Congress.
How do you find the handling on a national level of the coronavirus crisis?
Well, that's a big topic there. I am a little concerned that we're a little bit reactionary versus actually looking at the data and the trends going forward. I am pleased that they're trying to give some help to small businesses, but I also feel that it's probably impacting people greatly to the point that maybe the cure is worse than the actual disease. And, you know, I feel bad for the fear out there. I feel bad for the people, you know, being laid off of their jobs right now. And it's just a very tough environment that we're going to have to work together with to fix.
If you are elected to Congress, you will be going to Washington in an area that by November, even though the virus could be, and hopefully we pray is behind us, this country is going to be in a almost a depression state. What are your thoughts on that, Eric Rudin?
Yeah, I think we can rebound a little bit further than that. I don't think we'll necessarily be at that depression state. But I think there's real challenges. I mean, when you're suspending payroll employer taxes, obviously you're escalating insolvency on Social Security and Medicare, spending, obviously, deficits, big concern. There's going to have to be some changes in Washington. One, tone and being able to work with both sides of the party, because there's going to be real challenges. And the second part of that is actually approving budgets and looking at them and looking how our expenditures are used. There's going to have to be tough decisions. And if there isn't a little bit more maturity versus partisanship, we're going to be in real trouble as a country.
Why did you decide that this was the time to get involved with politics?
It was mainly basically the representation or the lack of representation we have now. I've kind of been involved on the activism side for some time, but I've always done it from quietly in the background. I noticed that we should have been a little bit more successful on the Republican side last election cycle. And I actually thought that if we don't start having successful people step up, we're going to have more problems. So I just kind of felt a sense of urgency and need that we needed more business people that had some financial sense to get in the political arena and try to do good things for our country.
How is your own business, by the way, Eric, being impacted by the CV?
Well, I have two businesses. So the first business is a pest control business. So we're considered essential, so we're still operating. Obviously, there's an impact to revenue and a lot less activity, and we have to implement a lot of procedures with social distancing And then my other business is an entertainment facility for kids. So obviously that is closed at this point. I know many parents and the employees are disappointed, but we didn't really have a choice with the requirements of Pima County and Marana. We are paying those employees currently, so to reduce the hardship for them. But it's a tough situation having, you know, a facility is completely closed down and you're powerless to do anything about it. So my frustration level is pretty high, along with everybody else out there in the small business community.
I would think, Eric Rudin, this is a very difficult time for candidates when you have a story like this, the coronavirus, which just is dominating the news cycle. It's pretty hard to get your message out, isn't it?
I believe so. I mean, we've gone to a lot of electronic means, you know, and we do some advertising. So we've done a little bit more than most candidates. But I also think there's a time and place, that there are things more important than the arrogance of a candidate to get his message out there. It's a situation where we're going to need some help with that. But my concern basically is for the community. I think this will pass. I see a light at the end of the tunnel here in the next 3 to 4 weeks where things will start lightening up. And as normalcy will kick in, then I think the demand for some political action will raise very quickly. So I believe there's time, and I think the time is not necessarily today because there's more important things on the agenda for our community.
When before all this happened and all of our focus turned to this crisis, what did you like to do for recreation? What did you do? Do you like to get out and enjoy the outdoors? What are some of your hobbies, Eric Rudin?
Well, actually, my biggest hobby was being a softball coach.
Okay.
My daughter did that for many years, and the Little League basically said you wouldn't have a team unless someone coached, and that involved in being pretty active in travel ball. So my downtime with my businesses was actually going around, traveling around, taking girls to be seen so they can get to college. And I've been doing travel ball coaching for about 10 years now, and I even coached all the way through the fall season. And we had a very competitive team. They went 37-7, 409 batting average. I mean, we're a very competitive local team that showed really well. And that's kind of how the Hitting Factory was born, is just trying to give these young kids activities and opportunities that involve an iPad, you know, going out and doing something. I believe sports teaches a lot of good things to our youth moving forward.
Eric, where can people find out more about you, sir?
They can visit our website. That's Rudin for Congress. That's R-U-D-E-N for F-O-R, Congress.com. Or you can visit us on Facebook, Nora and Eric Rudin for Congress as well. And we also have some social media feeds. But you can learn more, and it'll direct you to all our social media.
Eric Rudin, thank you for visiting with us. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the time. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Eric Rudin, candidate, Republican candidate for Congress in Congressional District number 2. That's going to do it. I think we had a lot of good content today. Information on coronavirus. The first interview with Will Hummel really was interesting about some of the legal and health implications of all of this. I think it's worth a second listen at buckmastershow.com for sure. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's coming up next. Always good financial advice from Dave. Till then, have a great afternoon.